I entitled tonight's message "From Rags to Riches," and it's kind of that way, you know. And if you kind of just look at us, it's a story about us, and so we'll bring some of that in. But we're going to talk tonight about David and some things that he did. Now, if you all remember, King Saul hated David. He was jealous of him. You remember David was there and he would play for him. There was an evil spirit that would come upon Saul. David would play, the spirit would leave. But there was different times that Saul tried to kill David, threw a spear at him, tried to spear him, and then ended up chasing him throughout the countryside. And David hid out in caves, and David even had an opportunity one time to kill Saul. All the men wanted him to kill Saul. He was asleep in the very cave they were hiding in. And all David did was just cut a little bit of his coat off. And then later on, he was convicted about that. And he went out to the cave and he hollered to Saul. And he said, you know, showed him. He said, "I could have killed you, but I know you're God's anointed one." You know, and then, of course, Saul admits. He said, "You're a better man than I am. And it looks like everything's going to be okay." But you see, Saul was so angry, so jealous of David, that he just stayed in pursuit of him all the time. Now, on the other side of that was Jonathan. That was Saul's son. When David was there in the castle with Saul, in the palace with Saul, Jonathan and David formed a great friendship, almost like brothers. Matter of fact, the Bible says they loved one another. Now, you know, the twisted ones have tried to sort that and say that they were, you know, homosexual and all that kind of thing. See, the devil's always trying to look for something that he can try to twist around. No, they loved one another with a brotherly, godly love. Okay, the right kind of love. Amen. Matter of fact, to the point that Jonathan was willing, because he saw his father and he saw that his father was being driven by the wrong spirit. He knew what kind of fellow David was, and he knew that his father was wrong. And so Jonathan sided with David. And so I want to read a little bit here, because they made a covenant together. So go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 23, and let's look at verse 23. And so Saul's talking here and trying to get them to find where David's at. And he says in verse 20, well, actually, let's just look at, I don't know, let's look at verse 15 through 18 here, if you would. That way we can pull it. And it says, "And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God." Notice that. He strengthened his hand in God. "And he said to him, 'Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth.' And they too made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house." And so Jonathan comes out, strengthens David, tells him, "Don't worry about it. I'll make sure that my father never does find you." And they made a covenant with one another. He said, "You're going to be king, and I'm going to be right next to you." But what happens is time progresses and they go on, it ends up that Jonathan and Saul get caught up with a battle, and they're actually about to be overtaken. And so rather than be captured alive, they're no longer able to yield a sword also. You know, they have no control over it. And a lot of times what they would do is they would actually cut their thumbs off and then be under their table while they had dinner. It was the time they cut their head off and laid their head through the streets. And so Jonathan knew it and be able to be captured and be tortured that way. So later on in David's time, after David had become king, and we know that David was already anointed to be king, and God said, "Oh, he already been anointed of the Lord through Samuel the prophet to be king, but he was not believing in God too." And David, matter of fact, when he cut his coat, he said, "You know, I can't kill God's anointed." So now David is finally to this place. He's in position here. "I expect that he has lived the house of Saul, but I'm showing him kindness for Jonathan's sake." And okay, called him David. The king said to him, and he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said to him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. And I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon in such a dead dog as I am? Then the king said to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and shall bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, the master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And then Ziba said, According to all that the Lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's son. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwell in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually in the castle and was lame on both his feet. Now I wanted to read all that. Still honored Saul, but he also, most of them, Jonathan had died. Once David became king, remember Jonathan. So David wanted to honor Jonathan or any of his relatives. And I want you to notice what's going on. Here Mephibosheth is. He's living in somebody else. All of a sudden he gets a call from the king. And when he comes in, then the king begins to talk to him about it. Listen to that. He says, Who am I? Like a dead dog, is what he called himself. Saying that most people in the body of Christ still see themselves as nothing. See, that's the problem right there. We have to understand the kingdom. Because of that, you have been called by him. You've been translated over into his kingdom. And so that's where we're operating at. Mephibosheth, when he, even though he was in the king's palace, was still looking at himself the way he had always been looked at. He looked at you. They're going to think of you the way they thought. No, you've been taken out of where you were at. And now you've been placed over in, therefore, you may be in Christ, a new creature. Old things, a new creation in Christ. You're not the same old person you used to be. But you're not the same. Only inside of you is a brand new Godhood. In fact, I saw the David before anybody else did. Remember, all the other brothers went through. And they all looked like they could be king, the way the Bible describes. Last thing God said, what's none of him? And it's prompted, same little thing. I knew more sons. And then he came where they come from the rock. It's a good king. But when he came in, God's not what the world says about us. It's what God thinks about us. It's not what the world thinks about us. Samuel saw him as small and ruddy. But God told him, now listen, I don't look at people's hearts. He's the one anointed to be king now that's brought him a fifth chef, crippled up in no feet, in the house of royalty with his dad and with his grandfather and his sons to the king's house. And then you, for your daddy's sake. I'm going to restore back to you everything he had. I'm going to restore it back to you. Matter of fact, I'm going to let this guy now and all of his generations be servants unto you. They're going to take care of him so that all of your family will be taken care of. But you, I said, well, now do you understand? Well, I'm going to just say to the fifth chef, I'm going to treat you like I do my sons and my daughters. You're going to set my table. Can I tell you how far out we are? No matter whose house we're living under, no matter his kingdom. And now he's established you and I as our Savior. And so we came here tonight, everybody was kind of ahead. Like taking a nap. But to let you know that you're going to eat at my table forever. I mean, you're my son and daughter because you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and there's no reason for you to be discouraged. There's no reason for you to be discouraged. There's no temple. My sons and my father. Matter of fact, I've told you to be the kings and priests of this kingdom. But I said, we don't really understand what it compasses to be in the kingdom of God and be a son and daughter of God. To have the very Spirit of God on the inside of us that was here of just light and lightless. The same Holy Spirit for God from God to do what God wanted done. That same Holy Spirit to open up your mouth and say something. Listen, praise God, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I had the strength to get here tonight in the hospital. I woke up in my bed. Come on. I woke up and was able to get up on what God has done for us. The protection, the covenant that we have. Jonathan and David had covenant. You and I are in covenant with. It's on the cross. And so here we are in this covenant with all these promises, with all these benefits that we have, and we sit around sometimes and we just act like Mephibosheth. Yeah. Nothing good going on in my life. We got everything to be excited about. It's not perfect. We understand that. Jesus said, in this world you have your relationship. I've opened the world and he's opened the world, so have you. He was exalted at the right hand of the Father, so are you. No matter what, you have to be right there. He's taking care of it. Forget it. We just get like Mephibosheth. We start talking about the fact we're just kind of like, let that be the three verses of here. I don't know why I didn't think of him. And I start, so shall I start to do? I start to Mephibosheth, said king, still like one of the king's sons. Now, when you start kind of thinking about that, he's been now in somebody else's house. I'm sure probably just barely getting by. He's crippled in his feet, so most likely he's not had the ideal life. What do you think? I just kind of grabbed that from the scriptures. But now all of a sudden he's in the king's house And he said he's going to be as the king, one of the king's sons. You know what that meant? That meant now he had to learn how to act like a king's son rather than act like a cripple. Come on now. He wasn't going to be allowed to fall back on his disability. He was now a king's son. He was royalty. So he couldn't act like a poor little old dead dog. Now he's got to act like a king's son. Now he's got to learn how to act like royalty. Oh my gosh. If the church would just get a hold of this. Come on. If we had get a hold of the fact that we are now in the position to where we can't act like we're just a poor old sinner saved by grace, but now we are sons and daughters of God. We're king's sons, king's daughters, and we got to start acting like it. We're eating from the king's table. We don't got to have the scraps. Come on, remember the one lady said, yeah, you know, the dogs eat from the king's table. Right? We're not the dogs under the table, church. We're the ones sitting at the table now. But we still want to play the victim mentality. Come on. We want to act like we're victims so people will feel sorry for us. But no, God says, no, I have anointed you. I've established you. I've made you kings and priests unto me. So quit acting like the world acts and start acting like my sons and daughters, kings and priests. Mephibosheth had to learn how to start acting like royalty. He had to learn how to dress like royalty. Come on. He was no longer allowed to dress like the peasants. Come on. You see, we try to blend so much in the world, and God says, you know, I've called you out from among the world. Amen. People ought to be able to tell a difference in us when they're around us. Come on, we ought to be representing the kingdom of God because we're His sons and daughters, not representing the world and trying to blend into the world. Amen. You see, that's the thing God's trying to get across to us is, listen, we're no longer there where we were at. We're over here now. See, you got to get... When I first started getting into some of the ministry places and started going places that I'd never been before and some of the bigger places, there was kind of a hierarchy, and there still is to a certain degree, but there was a hierarchy of ministry that if you knew the people in the ministry, you got to sit up front. Right? I mean, really, I'm talking about some of the bigger ministries where there, you know, there was no way you could get up front. Matter of fact, they kind of protected and reserved all the front for certain people. And you come in and you'd look at and you'd say, you know, man, it'd be nice to get to sit up there. You know? But you couldn't sit up there because you didn't know anybody, so you didn't have any favor as far as getting to sit up there. In God's kingdom, He says, you know what? I want you all sitting up front. We were those that were wishing we could sit up front, but now God says you are those that do sit up front. Kings, when you realize who you are in Christ, you understand that you are seated with Christ and positioned with Christ, and therefore ain't nobody sitting in front of you. Come on. This is a personal relationship between you and God. Pastorette would always get so frustrated because she's short and it would never fail. I don't care where we went to. When we get a good seat where we could see, somebody tall would come and sit down in front of Pastorette. And there she would be like this, trying, I can't see. I can't see. And a lot of times I like an outside seat so that nobody can get on both sides of you in front of you tall. And so a lot of times I'd have to switch out with her so that she could see. So she could at least look up the aisle. You see, but in the kingdom of God, it ain't like that. It don't matter. There ain't nobody bigger than her in the kingdom of God. There ain't nobody bigger than you in the kingdom of God. You got a front row seat to everything God wants you to have. Mephibosheth came out of that poverty, came out of somebody else having to take care of it, and now all of a sudden, here he is, owns lands, owns servants. He is now a king's son for all intents and purposes, and he is commanding those servants to do whatever he wants to do, and they were ordered by King David, you do whatever he says for you to do. Do you understand? You see, that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. God has promoted all of us to kings and king's sons and king's daughters, to royalty, kings and priests. And He wants us operating like that. He wants us to see that the Bible teaches us that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And He's also gave us great precious promises that by these we could overcome this world. So what God wants us to understand is, listen, I've brought you into my house. I've brought you in and made you sons and daughters. And I've given you everything. And I've also told you to rule and reign till I come back. So why are you just sitting there acting like a dead dog? Why don't you get up and start ruling and reigning like kings? Get up and start acting like sons and daughters. Come on. My daughter don't got to have permission to come into my house. She was given that permission when she was born. Now I know she's married now, and she's got a baby daughter, and that's my granddaughter. Guess what? Neither one of them got to have permission to come in my house. They can come anytime they want to, throw the door open, and come on into our house. Matter of fact, me and Pastor Ed at one time offered them everything we had. So you're looking at me funny. She's our only daughter. She's our only heir. And we told her, you want our place? You can have our place. We'll go somewhere else and live. It's real quiet in here. Well, what am I going to do with it? See, you've got the world's mentality. People want to buy lands and houses, and they want to get all this stuff on the earth. What you going to do with it? You can't take it with you when you go. Somebody else going to fight over it after you're gone. Right? See, the world's mentality is get, obtain. You know, but it don't mean nothing because it has no heavenly value. Families fall out over land. And when they die, the land will still be here for somebody else to fight over. But they'll never get back that chance to love one another while they're still here on this earth. And a lot of times they let that fighting take them away from God to where they end up putting themselves in hell just fighting over something that don't mean nothing in the first place. Come on. Folks struggle all their life to have a big retirement plan. And when they get to age where they can use the retirement plan, now all of a sudden they don't have the physical ability to do anything. And so the money sits there, waiting for somebody that will use it. Come on. You're looking at me, I'm really funny. In God's kingdom, He says, I've given you all this already. Use it. It's yours. I want you to have an abundant life, full and overflowing. Why are we struggling so hard to be like the Joneses when we're better than the Joneses? Come on, we got God. We got the Lord Jesus Christ. He said He'd never forsake us, never leave us. We need to start acting the way God wants us to act. You need to start acting like you're already wealthy, even though you're not. In the natural, you may not be, but you just need to start acting like you are. And you need to start acting like it belongs to you. Quit acting like you know where... You know, I'm sure glad that God kind of blessed. No, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God bless me again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was expecting this, and it came. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. That's the way God wants us to operate. Get excited about the fact that you've been brought out of that old life and brought into the God life. I thank God that I no longer have that mentality of poor old me and I'm nothing, and that God has brought me in and the Word of God has changed my mind and I understand now who I am in Christ. And it's not pride, it's just the fact that I know who I am. Come on, right? I heard a guy say one time, a long time ago, he said, it ain't bragging if you can do it. Right? If you can do it, it's not bragging. You're just telling it how it is. Well, it's time for the church to start telling people how it is. I'm a king's daughter. I'm a king's son. I'm royalty. This whole earth belongs to me. Come on. He's given it to the children of men, right? See, y'all get quiet on me when I'm saying some of this stuff. Here's what I want you to see, and I'll close here just in a minute. One commandment brought Mephibosheth from rags to riches. Just one commandment. The king told him, you're going to eat at my table. One commandment. You are now in my house. Going to be as one of the king's sons. Can I tell you something? One commandment puts every one of us in God's house. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Aren't you glad God loved us enough to give a commandment that would bring us out of darkness? Bring us out of our crippledness. Bring us out of our poverty, our sickness and disease. And bring us over into the light where the healing of God is available to us all the time. Where the prosperity of God belongs to us. And where the fullness of life belongs to us. Fear's gone. Life and life more abundantly. It belongs to us. God has truly brought us from rags to riches. And it ain't got nothing to do with money. Amen. Will you stand to your feet with me? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you that through the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, you made a plan to bring us out of the world and over into your kingdom. And I thank you, Father God, that when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that's exactly what happens. We know that David had a heart after you, and we can see your heart in David as he brings Mephibosheth into his kingdom. And we can see your heart as you bring us into your kingdom. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, because you love us all equally. Thank you for doing that for us. Thank you for loving us that much. Tonight, Father, we honor you as your sons and daughters. We honor you for who you are. We lift you up and we magnify you and thank you for your wondrous acts upon us, your children. And we give you glory for that. We lift you up and we exalt you in Jesus' name.